The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Huge win for the Lions, Jalen. The Lions did not lose this weekend. They didn't win really, but they won by tying. Can't wait to talk to you about it. Let's start the show. He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We still boss up. We still say what up, though. And always we gonna get a people! What they want.
Very interesting Sunday in the NFL. It seems like some teams have established themselves as true contenders. And we start with one of those, and that is the Green Bay Packers, who were supposed to have a tough game against the Seahawks. They shut the Seahawks out. They shut the Seahawks
out. Shut them down. Shut them down.
Jalen Rose, are the Packers the best team in the NFC?
That remains to be seen. But you got to give a big shout to their defense. You can't get a zero against Russell Wilson for the first time in his career and not get love from me. However, he missed some throws, Jacoby. There was there was a time in particular where Metcalf was wide open. He didn't throw it to him. And he was rusty. You got to remember, he had basically played a decade without ever missing a football game. And he came back. And another thing I want to acknowledge, no Carson. That doesn't get discussed enough. He's a really good three-down back. And when he's not out there, it takes away their balance. But I still want to give credit to the Green Bay Packers defense for stymieing the Seahawks all day.
Absolutely. And you think about this Packers team, they have two losses. That week one loss to the Saints, which is just, I don't know, an aberration, we'll call it. And then the second loss was when they had Jordan Love under center. This Packers team is certainly formidable in the NFC, but I'm concerned about the Seahawks. I'm not sure the Seahawks are going to make the playoffs. Do you see them in the playoffs?
I agree with you, Jacoby. And these are the type of games, especially the way our guy Aaron Jones went out of the game. I hope his injury isn't something long term. But then you bring in Dylan, and he was balling. Dual threat. And so I want to give the Packers their credit, but I agree with you. The Seahawks are starting to look more and more like a team that's going to miss the postseason. And then we're really going to be talking about possibly where Russell Wilson may be next. Stay tuned.
You know I love to do the media thing and take it too far, but I'm looking at this team. If they don't make the playoffs, and we know Russell Wilson was unhappy last year when they made the playoffs and lost. If they don't make the playoffs, keep an eye on him. Jalen, we do talk about the best teams in the NFC. You have to mention the Dallas Cowboys. Sure, they were down 30-0 to the Broncos last week, but this week they waxed the Falcons, and they did it not just with their offensive weapons, but with defense, turning the ball over and over and over against the Falcons.
See, that's the difference right there, right? You know, football is a glamour sport for a lot of people who casually watch. So you're going to talk about Dak and CD's two TDs and Zeke's two TDs, and rightfully so. But the thing that looks different to me is the Dallas Cowboys physically have a great defense.
Yep.
Parsons is a great defensive player. Diggs seems to get an interception every week. Or as a matter of fact, they're picking the football off all day. Now, we're not going to act like the Falcons aren't going to be one of the worst teams in the league when it's all said and done at the end of the year. But as you acknowledge, it was a bounce-back win on the road.
And the defense did play well, but let's talk about Dak. Dak looked fantastic. Two touchdowns through the air, had a rushing touchdown. Dak is back, and I think we just showed you the best two teams in the NFC, which are the Packers and the Cowboys, and they looked like it yesterday.
Really? Oh, you're reading too much into that Bucs loss yesterday with those injuries, huh? But yeah, we're going to give Dallas their credit. You know, each weekend that they win, Cowboy Nation is going to celebrate like they won the Super Bowl. And rightfully so, they look really good. And Dak had the bounce back game that Russell Wilson is going to hope to have a bounce back game next week after returning from an injury.
Well, you mentioned them, and when we talk about the best teams in the NFC, the Bucs have to be in the conversation, but they did not look like it yesterday. Tom Brady struggled. The Washington football team defense looked great. Jalen, what went wrong with the Bucs yesterday?
And the Rams in the NFC, but again, the Washington football team was physical. And anytime you're picking off Tom Brady, that's special because he had gone so very long without throwing an interception. But what about your guy in the pocket? Sipping on a Heineken post game, throwing dimes out there. You saw that last drive. They held the football basically the entire quarter with their offense. And what about Riverboat Ron? He was like David Jacoby on the weekends going to put our bets in, taking chances and doing what he had to do to throw the Bucs off guard. And again, the Bucs are dealing with a lot of injuries, in particular to their secondary. But I want to give Washington a lot of credit. That was a big time win.
Jalen. Tom Brady did not look like Tom Brady against this Washington football team defense. Now, if you remember the playoffs last year, the Washington football team played him pretty tough. They kind of gave him the toughest game that they had. Why is it that Tom Brady cannot succeed against this football team?
Chase Young is on the other side, right? He's really good. That's how that team was built, you know, from the defensive line back. And when you can knock Tom Brady or any quarterback off of their spot and make them uncomfortable, all of a sudden, they start to throw the football to the team with the other colors on. And it happened to the GOAT yesterday.
We hope that Chase Young's injury is not that serious and he gets back on the football field because it is so much fun to watch him, especially fun to watch him stymie the GOAT, Tom Brady. Let's turn our attention to Tom Brady's former team, the New England Patriots. We all circled this game against the Browns as two of the best in the AFC when the one would establish themselves, and it was Mac and Cheese. Mac Jones looked so good yesterday. He did not look like a rookie. The Patriots, this one wasn't even close. They beat the Browns by 38 points. Jalen, what do you think about the Patriots?
I'm happy Cam back and doing this thing and got two touchdowns yesterday, but as a veteran of sports, Mac and Cheese was definitely an underhanded compliment and a sneak diss. And so now all of a sudden to see the young rookie continue to grow and throw three touchdown passes and how initially it seemed like that they were dinking and dunking with him. And now all of a sudden he's getting it to the backs, he's getting it to the receivers, he's getting it to the tight end. Look really poised for a rookie. And Bill Belichick seems to be finding a way to get this team to play better each week. And I'm not going to say that they're one of the favorites in the AFC, but what I will say is this is what we normally like to admire about Bill Belichick. His team seeming to get better each week as the season progresses, and that's what they're doing.
That is what they're doing now. You look at the other side of the ball. Remember, the Browns, they let go Odell Beckham Jr., and they went out and played well last week, especially Baker. Baker did not look good against this Patriots defense, and it got to the point where he was out of the game and Case Keenum was in the game. Jalen, what do you think about the future of this Browns team if Mayfield's not available?
Well, the elephant in the room for Baker Mayfield, and of course we want him to get healthy, is he a franchise quarterback? Because there are other quarterbacks in his draft that have gotten taken care of, or we know that are going to get taken care of. The jury's still out on him. They played well in the first game without Odell, but this didn't look good. And initially, and as you mentioned, he got injured. But I must say this too, and I saw a frustrated Myles Garrett. And by the way, Myles Garrett looks like the Incredible Hulk, so I don't want to get him mad at me. But I got to say this, fam. He talked about the coaching staff not adjusting in particular to what the other team was doing. Like, I thought their entire defense, not just him, was supposed to be good. So if he was getting doubled and he was getting tripled, coming into the season, I felt like their roster, based on what I thought and saw, but what a lot of other people thought was even further, that this would be one of the better defenses in the entire NFL. So for them to get shredded like that by a rookie quarterback, I want to give the Patriots a lot of credit.
The Patriots do deserve a lot of credit. If you remember all those preseason predictions, a lot of people had this Cleveland Browns team in the Super Bowl, going far in the AFC. And when you look at those two teams on the field yesterday, the Patriots look much better than the Browns did. And Jalen, there's a Jalen on every team. And Jalen's produced every single Sunday. But there's only one Jacoby in the NFL. and that's Jacoby Myers for the Patriots. And he did something that he's never done before. Look at him. Look at him. You can't tackle me. I'm getting into the house, diving, stretching out. His first touchdown in the NFL. Big shout to my namesake, the only one in the NFL, Jacoby Myers. Let's not forget Jacoby Brissett, but you know I'm a front runner, so I only ride for Jacobys that are producing. Mr. Rose, last night, Sunday night football. Easy. We thought it was the Chiefs and the Raiders. We thought this would be a clash of the two division rivals, AFC Titans. It wasn't that.
No.
It was a blowout.
Not at all.
The Chiefs have reestablished themselves as a team to be reckoned with in the AFC after a slow start. I'm convinced after watching last night that the Chiefs are a team you don't want to play in the playoffs. What do you think about this performance from Mahomes and the Raiders?
That's because of him right there. When he threw that left-hand pass early in the game, I was like, they're in trouble. When I saw the cheetah wide open in the end zone, I'm like, they're really in trouble. And then before you know it, he started actually taking what the defense give him. And again, like, as much as Kelsey and Mahomes are elite weapons at what they do, the balance in the run game was crucial yesterday. That was paramount, and that's what they're going to need to continue to do. But I agree with you. As you start slotting teams in the AFC, it's easy to kind of jockey for a position week to week. But I agree with you. Nobody really trying to see the Kansas City Chiefs if they're healthy.
And everyone was talking about Kelsey not being involved this year and Kelsey not doing this or that. Well, they made sure that Kelsey was involved last night against the Raiders. He had 8 receptions, over 100 yards receiving. I think Kelsey is crucial for them. And when you talk about the best teams in the AFC, people talk about the Ravens and the Titans and all those other
Buffalo.
Teams. Well, the Chiefs are coming. The Chiefs are coming. And you know I love Bills Mafia. But Jalen, after watching this performance last night, it seems like they just reminded everybody that they are the AFC champions and someone needs to knock them off because they look like they are headed back to the AFC championship game. And Jalen, we have to turn our attention to the NBA as well because Anthony Davis is the player that you picked preseason that could change the fate of the Lakers, and he performed last night throwing it off the backboard to himself. Coming to you live from the Seaport, New York City, and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, the Lions played the Steelers. Neither team wanted to win the game, and neither team won the game. But the Lions didn't lose. The Lions laced up their shoes, put their uniforms on, and did not lose the football game. They got a huge win, tie, against the Steelers. What do you think about no one wanting to win this game in overtime?
The only thing I thought about watching that comedy of errors, because when the 4 o'clock games ended, my Lions ended up somewhere we are never, except on Thanksgiving, prime time. And the entire world got a chance to witness the debacles that I've lived my entire life. The fourth quarter turnovers, the missed kicks, and then in overtime, the Pittsburgh Steelers even jumped into the fray and start acting like us, giving away the football. And how the game ended was only right, with the Pittsburgh Steelers fumbling the football at the edge of the sideline when they're potentially in field goal range. We jump on it and give the NFL its first tie
Jalen,
of the NFL season.
I do want to talk about this missed kick, though, because, like, dude didn't just miss the kick to win the game. He wasn't even close. It looked like they took someone from the stands to try a field goal. Look at that. The Lions are so bad. Big shout to Dan Campbell, though. He got his first non-loss in his career as a head coach in the National Football League. Let's move on from this trash dumpster fire of a football game to a team that is truly a Super Bowl contender. I didn't jump off the Bills bandwagon last week after they lost to the Jags, but I had like a leg off the bandwagon and I was ready to jump off. But the Bills bounced back, led by their defense. Remember when they put Mike White in the Hall of Fame? They literally put his jersey in the Hall of Fame after his first game. Well, Bills Mafia suited up and showed Mike White what a real defense can do to him. He had pick after pick after pick. Seems like every drive ended in an interception for Mike White.
4 picks. for the Bills defense. Did a terrific job, but they, as you mentioned, were playing against the Jets. It was good for me to see Stephon Diggs have a big game and get into pay dirt. That's what they're going to continue to need to do, because the last couple of weeks they hadn't been connecting like they have the ability to. And so hopefully this ignites that for the rest of the season. And Jacoby, I got to remind you of something.
What's that?
You joined the mafia.
Oh, I'm in.
All of this, I got one leg in and out stuff. You're going to get
whacked. I'm on the bandwagon.
I'm going to have a new co-host, man. You can't be saying that out loud, man. You've gone to Buffalo. You've eaten their food. You've broken a table. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Jalen, I support the Buffalo Bills, and I will be supporting the Buffalo Bills when they host the AFC Championship game. And when they go to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, I will be front and center in my Josh Allen jersey that you bought me in Buffalo. And I'm going to have wing sauce all over it. I'm going to dump wing sauce on my head when they win the Super Bowl. That's exactly what I'm going to do, and that is a promise. Now, another team that we support here, Jalen and Jacoby, are the Cardinals. However, the Cardinals are without Nuke Hopkins. They are without Kyler Murray. And they looked very much without them as they played the Panthers and got waxed yesterday. What do you think about this Panthers performance?
It was all about Cam. And for the Panthers to bring him back, and he played a limited role. Mm-hmm. But for him to have two touchdowns, one rushing, a short touchdown passing, it just felt good to see him express a level of frustration that I know that he's felt as a guy that's led a team, that one, to the Super Bowl and has won MVP. But for the last few weeks, he was out of the league. He's out of the league. And so I'm happy that he was back making big plays, and we're talking about, I'm back! I love that sound bite.
Yes, the emotion. You can feel the release. You can feel the emotion as he looks right in the camera and screamed, I'm back. And I loved it. While we're discussing teams that we support, like the Bills and the Cardinals, let's turn our attention to the NBA, because we've picked another team here in Jalen Jacoby that we love, and that is the Charlotte Hornets. And they went up against the Warriors, who have the best record in the NBA. And who was it?
I see you, nephew. LaMelo Ball out here balling. And by the way, he has 17 boards the other day. And Michael Jordan wasn't the only person that felt like Kelly Oubre took a bad shot. He's allowed to celebrate in his suite and have emotion. Y'all leave Air Jordan alone. And I wanted to see how his team was going to respond after that. I was going to see how Miles Bridges played against his fellow alum Michigan State and fellow Michigander Draymond Green. And the Warriors have been the hottest team in basketball. Scary Terry had a big game as well. Those three guys were huge in beating the Warriors.
Jalen, the Lakers got waxed by the Timberwolves. Remember that game? Well, they had a bounce-back game against the Spurs, and it was all about Anthony Davis. Jalen, what do you think about AD establishing himself against the Spurs?
So the headline is going to be AD's a dominance. And I'm going to say this all year. If the Lakers are going to win the championship this season, whatever Anthony Davis did last night is what he's going to need to do throughout the playoffs and in the NBA Finals. What Giannis did last year. And you know why I say that? Because I know he has the potential when he's healthy. But the one undercurrent that I'm watching for, AD's dominant performance is the headline. The undercurrent is Russell Westbrook's turnovers. It's going to be interesting to see how they navigate that the rest of the season.
Jalen, Paige Bueckers, one of the most electrifying athletes in sports, continues to do what she does. What do you think about Paige Buckets?
Get buckets. And by the way, big shout to her who just signed an NIL $1 million deal as well. And this is the thing that I appreciate now about the landscape of collegiate sports, is that the men's teams, the women's teams, the great players are now being rewarded for their talents, because we know that she's the best player in college basketball. And we know the big stage that comes with UConn. And she's still at 5'11", continues to deliver at all facets of her game.
She is performing, and I love to see it. I'm gonna keep my eye on her all season long. Now, Jalen, something changed our lives last week. We went to Qatar. and we went to Doha, and I'm coming back. We're moving to Doha. We'll tell you just a bit about our trip to the Middle East right after this. You don't want to miss that. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Doubleheader Wednesday night on ESPN. It is the Lakers and the champions Bucks at 7:30. And then in the nightcap, we have the Mavs and Luka taking on Devin Booker and the Suns. And it's all preceded by NBA Countdown. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, my life was dramatically changed last week when I went to Doha, the city and the country that is hosting the World Cup in about 1 year. They advanced, hosted us, and I could not have been more impressed with the people and the city. Your thoughts on our trip?
One of the most incredible experiences of my life. And it reminded me that if I'm living my life right, I'll be going back to Qatar 3 or 4 times a year. It was life-changing. Being an inner-city kid, standing next to camels in the Middle East, eating at the King Amir's house, eating at Ali's beach house, like the most powerful people there, doing a panel with Hassan, and also Trevor Noah, who's extremely impressive, who was there. Shout to Tracy McGrady also, our Blink family, our One Team family. You don't just get there and get a chance to interact with those people without having the level of support. But from sunup to sundown, we were doing special things. And I'm really grateful that we took that trip, and hopefully we get a chance to go back soon.
On tomorrow's show, we'll break the trip down in detail. Just want to give a shout to everyone that hosted us there. We'll be discussing it all week on the podcast as well. Jalen Rose, Monday Night Football. It is the Rams and the 49ers. Can the 49ers pull off the upset?
No. The Rams, unfortunately, lost Robert Woods the same day they got Odell Beckham Jr., and he's going to be returning punts. I think the Rams still want to be looked at as one of the best teams in the NFC. Big-time Matthew Stafford game after he saw the Lions tie yesterday.
We'll be back tomorrow and every day on ESPN2 at 4 p.m. Make sure you check out the podcast. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content. Jalen, this whole week we'll be telling tales from the road because you and I got on a plane, flew to Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to say it, you're never wrong, went to Doha, and it was a life-changing experience. I had never been to the Middle Eastern region in my entire life, and my eyes are wide open, and so is my heart, because I loved the people, I loved the architecture, I loved everything that I saw in Doha. What were some of your favorite moments? We'll be breaking it down all week here.
One of the favorite things for me is that they developed this region in 25 years. And as Americans who've gotten a chance to go to Dubai, which I fortunately have in the past, now that country has sort of developed into like an entertainment version of what we consider Las Vegas. It's been Americanized in a lot of ways, but it's still obviously in the Middle East. What they're doing with Doha is they've kept the integrity of their heritage as you look at the architecture and the structures of the buildings, but yet they want to have a different level of focus, one that's about education. How about the library that we went to that has 2 million books? I'm not exaggerating, ladies and gentlemen. Like, this is, it was so state of the art. And by the way, I live in America. I'm the founder of a school where we're closing libraries. We're closing them. They have a state of the art one, computer, state of the art technology. Like, it was extremely impressive. And then the panel that we had okay? You did an amazing job of hosting, along with another gracious host,
Shekhar Alanud,
who, by the way, along with Tracy McGrady, Trevor Noah, and myself, got a chance to really acknowledge and take in the experience together. And right after that, and by the way, we probably, and I'm so very happy about this, we were there Wednesday on the ground through Saturday on the ground. We probably visited 6 or 7 things each day. I remember sitting in front of the panel and you asked me, what was my highlight of the trip? And I graciously and happily thought, it's so many things. Like, so many I can't even sort all 40 of them right now. But well, how about this? I'll tell you one real quick. How about the fact that we went to the Formula Track, got a chance to drive cars. First, I rode with the president of the track. T-Mac rode with one of the drivers. We're both sitting in the car. They take off first. I look at my driver, I'm like, we don't have to keep up with them. You know that, right? You know what I'm saying? We don't even have to do that. But at some point, I got relaxed and he was doing 235 miles per hour with me in the car around the track. And I ain't gonna act like I wasn't scared. It was a GoPro in the car and I'm pretty sure it's gonna be some footage. But as I was riding, I started thinking, if we're gonna do this, I need to control my own destiny. And I felt like the girl in Boys in the Hood, when she talked to Trey, I was like, I wanna drive. You know what I'm saying?
Jalen got behind the wheel in like where he did one lap, and then he did a second lap, and then he did a third lap. And we're like, is this dude gonna stop? Like, he's not running the actual race. They're hosting the F1 race this weekend, and one of my biggest takeaways was it always feels like what happened over there was over there. When you hear about the Afghani refugees, it just feels like it's over there. You know, it's not something that directly affects us here in America. It's something that's on another planet, in another piece of the world. But when you get over there, and one of the first things that we did was visit the Army base, the U.S. Army base in Doha, and they tell the stories, and you're talking to the troops, and they tell you the stories of 57,000 Afghani refugees, you know, landing there, and them having to feed and house and care for and process all of those refugees. And it was really touching to see how the Qatari people, we visited later in the trip, the place where some of the refugees were housed in the city, and the Qatari people told about how they volunteer their time and how the community reaches out to take care of the children. And we went and saw the children that were there. It was really touching, and I couldn't help to be moved to tears. Obviously, I feel for the plight of the refugees themselves, but I was also just so inspired by the efforts of the community in Doha and the efforts of the Qatari people to take in these strangers, to care for someone else's children, and the efforts that they did use to process and to match those children with their families that they've been separated from. It was really, really touching, and it was eye-opening to understand that a lot of times in life, and this isn't just true to the Middle East, but lots of different regions of that you're not familiar with, is the plight of the people there and the everyday heroism that is happening around the world, especially in Doha. And they're going to host the world in a year, in late November in 2022, and we got to be hosted by them. And let me tell you, no shortage of hospitality from the Qatari people, Mr. Rose. No shortage of hospitality.
Absolutely. And I want to make sure I acknowledge something, as you had mentioned, that Qatar is going to be hosting the World Cup in 2022. And the reason why I enjoy doing this show is not only therapeutic, but also I want to make sure that we get a chance through us to teach people what we get a chance to actually see. That's why I'm really happy that our show may be at a Versus at Madison Square Garden. It may be in Buffalo at a Bills game, or it may be in Qatar. Because when you've gone places, you get a chance to learn what makes people tick in different regions and different cities. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I liked about playing for multiple teams in the league. Because now I know what's happening in Phoenix. I live there, Chicago, Toronto, and you get a chance to digest what's considered good, bad, and ugly about that situation and learn for yourself and not necessarily go by hearsay. And the one thing in us getting the Doha treatment, as you mentioned, and I can't wait to acknowledge some of the people that hosted us, is the elephant in the room is the people that are listening to us right now. And you know, we don't run from topics that are going to say, well, Jalen, I read in The Guardian, because that's in theory what it, where it was, that marginalized people are being taken advantage of, and over 6,500 of them have died in order for the actual World Cup to happen, right? And I just want to say, and in meeting the King Amir and having this conversation, that it was really something that Trevor Noah brought up that was like a light bulb in my head. Because you know how sometimes someone else is speaking and you're trying to figure how you want to articulate something, and you hear it from them and you like, got it. He reminded us that each time your region, your country hosts something like the World Cup or the Olympics, not only what's good about what you're doing, also your warts may be getting exposed, right? Because everybody wants the Olympics. Like, that's competition. So what ends up happening is FIFA, and that's something totally different in itself. They haven't been considered the most honest organization over time. They are submitted by people all across the world of why they should host the games, right? So it's like sports in a lot of ways. Everybody jockeying for a position, trying to figure what they can do to FIFA for FIFA to pick them. So it's almost like you're whining and dining them. And so when somewhere gets picked, like when somebody wins the championship, everyone else isn't necessarily happy. And the point that he articulated for me is that the warts in particular for regions of color, they're highlighted and broadcast vastly different than their counterparts. And I just want to remind people of this. I'm a black man in America. We've had slavery here. And we've had Jim Crow laws here. I've been considered as 3/5 of a man here. I've needed, and my ancestors needed to cross the street when they saw white people here. Emmett Till got killed whistling at a white lady, allegedly, here. How about the chairman, Fred Hampton, was murdered in the middle of the night by law enforcement because of intel from the U.S. government that wanted him dead. I'm not making this up. That happened here. Kyle Rittenhouse's case got dismissed here. So what I just want to say to people is something my mother used to say to me. I don't know the numbers of what was written, if it's totally accurate or totally inaccurate. But what I want to say is this. My mother used to tell me when we was little, what happens in this house stays in this house. Good, bad, or indifferent. And I just want to say to people, before we start being so very ready to judge somebody in a different city, in a different state, in a different region, in a different country, in a different part of the world, never be afraid to look directly in that mirror, because we all have improving to do.
Of course, and I think that there's a lot of misconceptions, there's a lot of prejudice, there's a lot of stereotypes about most regions of the world, but especially the Middle East. And until you go there, until you have boots on the ground, until you shake the hands and look in the eyes of the people there, which we were fortunate enough to, it was really eye-opening. And I encourage everyone to visit Doha, and I encourage everyone to come with an open heart and an open arms and open eyes when they evaluate that city and that country, because I was so impressed with the caring, the intellect, and the hospitality of the people there, and it was absolutely amazing. All week long, we'll be giving you stories from the road, but one thing that Jalen said while we were walking, Jalen said, I love creativity. He said, I love creativity. And you said that as we were looking at the museum, the National Museum, which was, you know, I'm gonna say straight up, I mean, we're gonna tell you details from this trip all week long, but I don't like museums. The only reason I'm at a museum is to kill some time with my kids. Like, I'll never go to a museum by myself. There are some that I've been to, the Louvre and others that, you know, and the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, some that kind of blew me away. The Dalí Museum comes to mind. But the museum was amazing, and the architecture and the creativity, the ambition, especially with the World Cup stadiums. And over time, like, we got a peek behind the curtain. You know what I mean? Like, we got the soft opening. We got to see what the world is going to see in a year, and the world's eyes are going to be wide open to the creativity, the ambition, the industriousness, and the caring of the Qatari people. And I'm so excited for the world to get to experience what we experienced this week.
I agree, and well said. I'm going back a few times for sure. And I'm gonna tell you this, fam. I'm glad you brought up the museum, because that was also one of my favorite parts of the trip. And again, shout to Tracy McGrady, shout to Trevor Noah, shout to the Blink family, the One Team family, for making it happen. And being at that museum is kind of like being at the library. The one thing that made me say I appreciate the creativity is because when you fully develop a city, a region in 25 years, like, we saw skyscrapers that didn't exist 10 years ago, that did not exist.
Dog,
10 years ago.
They built an entire island that didn't exist and then put a skyline on it in 10 years. Like, the ambition is unparalleled.
No question. And to now see, like, how immaculate and like the architecture and by the way, at the museum as well. And I'm not necessarily a quote-unquote museum guy, but I was blown away. I felt like, I almost felt like, what's the name of that movie?
How do you expect me to answer that? Dude says, what's the name of that movie? Like, we're on the same page a lot, but can I give you some more?
So, it's the most, what's the most incredible sci-fi movie that first came out in the 90s?
What do you want me to do here?
I mean, tell me one of the sci-fi movies that you've
Jurassic
seen
Park,
that I,
Star
there
Trek,
you go,
Star
there
Wars.
You go, there you go. So this is like, I was there like when the world first saw Jurassic Park, you know what I mean? And how they chronicled their history, and like to see how initially they funded themselves via pearls in a lot of ways, and just to see how the divers risked their lives and like the uniforms they was wearing and how the pearls became, you get one now. I never really thought about this. When you see somebody with a pearl necklace, depending on how large it is, say it's 30 different pearls. Do you realize how many times somebody has to jump into the ocean before you get 30 matching pearls?
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. I mean, I had no idea, because we always associate Qatar and with natural gas and oil, but they had a pearl industry on lock, and it was just people jumping in the ocean, swimming down to the bottom. Someone, one person in the boat, one person in the ocean, rope tied to them, and they just get coming up with oysters and trying to get pearls, and then those pearls need to match. There's different types of pearls. I had no idea how closely that history of that country was related to pearls. There's so many things that we saw, so many things that we did, and we're gonna be talking about stories from that trip all week long. And I want to give a big shout out to Blink and One Team for hosting us out there, because the hospitality was unmatched. I've never been treated like that before. And I've never, ever been treated like that before on every single level. But now let's turn our attention back to sports, because Mr. Rose, there's some games that we didn't get to. The Chicago Bulls are for real. Do you remember when they were 4-0 and I put up on the full screen? I was like, well, here's their upcoming schedule. They're playing this team, that team, that this team. This, you know, this bubble is going to pop. Bubble didn't pop. Do you know what popped? DeMar DeRozan. Like, DeMar DeRozan's in the MVP conversation right now, Mr. Rose. What do you think about the secret to the Chicago Bulls' success?
I tried to tell you, and you know Zach LaVine is one of my guys. I remember us doing this show from Los Angeles when he first got in the league and when he was in Minnesota. And I told you, I didn't like that spot for him. He really got game. And as he's transitioned to the Bulls, the one thing that I understood that they were going to be able to constantly do is score the ball. Like, he and DeMar DeRozan gonna score 25 every game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's you halfway there almost some nights. Over halfway there some nights. Just with their two scoring. And Vucevic is a bucket also as a big, right? So now he's gonna give you balance. And then I love how they added big guard Lonzo. I love that so much.
Let me interject here, because there's a theme to this Bulls roster. There's a theme. Is these players have become a better version of themselves. Lonzo Ball becomes a better version of himself when he goes from the Pelicans to the Bulls. DeRozan from the Spurs to the Bulls, better version. Vucevic from the Magic to the Bulls. Caruso from the Lakers to the Bulls. Like, LaVine from the Timberwolves to the Bulls. It doesn't always work that way. There's plenty of players that play well on one team and then move somewhere else and then production goes down. But it seems like every player on the Bulls becomes a better version of themselves once they put on the uniform and play together.
And also, your team is going to be better when you can control the ball handlers at the point of the attack. Like, that's one thing that doesn't get discussed a lot in the NBA. And I was happy to see Killian Hayes of my Pistons flirt with a triple-double the other day.
Wait, we ain't talking about the Pistons right now, though.
I know we're not, I'm bringing this up because the Raptors are one of the worst defensive teams in the league. They can't stop the basketball at the point of the attack, which now lends for people to have big games against you. The Bulls have Lonzo and Caruso, big guards that could switch, that want to play defense, but you ready for this? They're not taking the most shots on the team.
No.
So, like, I'm going to give y'all something to look at. Most of the teams that you guys watch, unless it's Joel Embiid or the Joker, usually the primary ball handler leads the team in shot attempts. So what that's gonna now lend for is when he going between the legs behind the back and he's shooting a corner jumper or a wing jumper, sometimes the defensive balance ain't there. Them dudes always back on D. That's another thing that teams don't now get those runouts. You don't now get those transition threes. It creates a level of balance because they're feeding LaVine. They're feeding DeRozan. They're feeding Big Vucevic. And so, yes, it's really impressive what they're doing. And I anticipate them having the true potential of being a top four team now that the season has started. And I'm starting to see people jockeying for position.
Let's talk about jockeying for position, because this was a team that we talked way too much about in the offseason, and then everyone was kind of quiet about it. But don't look now, Mr. Rose. After a win against OKC, the Brooklyn Nets are 10-4. No one's really talking about it. And Kevin Durant looks like an MVP favorite, definitely a candidate. He had 33 against OKC. The Nets are 10-4, and we're not really considering them as the best team in the Eastern Conference because there has been the Heat looking good and the Bulls and the Washington Wizards are surprising and the Cleveland Cavaliers are surprising. But once this all gets said and done, something tells me the Bulls and the Cavs and the Wizards are not going to be at the top of the East, and the Bucks aren't going to be out of the playoff hunt as they currently are right now, but it's going to be the Brooklyn Nets on top of the East. Mr. Rose, what do you think about the Nets?
I think they've flown under the radar because it's a buzzkill that Kyrie not playing, and we know, I believe, that they're not going to win a championship without him. And so it's like, when this Big Three was formed, we assumed that that meant back-to-back NBA Finals competing for a championship.
Yep.
And so, yes, KD and Steph going back and forth. Shout to, and by the way, Steph's jumper from the left corner, when it left his hand, him turning around pointing at the fan, that should be in the Doha Museum. Like that right there is, like that right there to me is Jordan doing twinkle toes against the Knicks, spinning baseline, dunking on Ewing. Like that right there is the total opposite embodiment of usually like all-time great and dominance in the NBA and in sports. A lot of time has to do with your size or your power or your athleticism or dunking on somebody or crossing somebody over. But Steph has mastered the art of shooting. And anytime you letting that thing go in the middle of a game and it ain't even hit the rim yet and you turn it around pointing at a fan and it's all bottoms, hey man, that right there is why I love this game. But for KD, you know, James Harden starting to get it together. I'm happy for LaMarcus Aldridge. That's who I'm happy for. He's balling. Yep. And now the dribble handoffs with Blake Griffin and Joe Harris, they got a little couple of actions. Harris, I believe, started the previous game 5-for-5 from three. Like they are finding who they are with this group. And I still don't believe this group can win the East without Kyrie, but I'm still gonna enjoy KD, my regular season choice in the preseason for MVP. Seems like he and Steph gonna go back and forth for that. And so I think that's why it hasn't been as acknowledged.
Well, I remember early in the season, the Suns didn't look good. Like, I think they started 0-3 and 1-4. Ever since then, they just won 8 games in a row. The Suns have won 8 games in a row, and they are second to only the Warriors that you discussed a second ago. I was very surprised at how poorly they started, but I'm more surprised by how well they've bounced back. Jalen, 8 in a row for the Suns. What do you think?
Monty Williams, player development. Like, when you're able to build from within, and then, like you mentioned with the Bulls, players become better versions of themselves, that's what truly gives you a chance to do something special. And yeah, we know Chris Paul is the OG, the vet, but what's going to carry them throughout the regular season and the postseason, like Anthony Davis is going to need to be that for LeBron. Devin Booker is going to need to be that for the Suns. James Harden is going to need to be that for the Nets, like Chris Middleton was last year for the Bucks.
I want to give a big shout to JaVale McGee with 8 and out. He stepped up. Like, I feel like JaVale McGee is going to be in the league in 2035. You know what I mean? Like, I really feel like he is.
Because he can run and jump. And he can, and so, and when you can change ends of the floor and block a shot, I agree. Like, he is one of those players that almost in a different, so there's two ways to look at bigs like him, right? You could be frustrated at a DeAndre Jordan or JaVale McGee that they can't score the ball on the post, right? Like they can't create their own offense.
They ain't Jokic.
But the game has changed to where it creates a different value for that player. And hustle and height, they're attributes that may not always like get acknowledged, but I remember standing next to T-Mac and thinking, this dude's hands is way bigger than mine and two times thicker. Like literally, like his hands is two, like if I put both of my hands on top of each other, that's how strong T-Mac's hands is. And his hands bigger than mine. He was standing in front of me on a picture, dog. I couldn't even see. And I was like, I forgot this dude was almost 6'10".
He's, right? Yo, he looked like he could play in the league like right now. Right. Like you don't look like, I've seen you run. We played together. You don't look like you could play in the league anymore. You know what I mean?
No.
Like you can hit some shots, but you can't run up and down and stay in front of people. But T-Mac looked like if he really wanted to, he could get added to a team like in the buyout market.
And see, the reason why he didn't continue playing was because of injury. And I bring that up for DeAndre Jordan and JaVale McGee as big guys. If they can maintain their health, they can play a lot longer.
Absolutely. It's time to hear from you, our listeners. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN. You can leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Reg on point with the sound effects. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Again, 985-80-JALEN. You can call in, leave us voicemails. We will be here to answer all your questions. Call the hotline, leave a voicemail. We'll put you on the show just like this.
What up, though? This is Chris calling back, member from Columbus. Shout out Reginald the Legendals, VJ on the ones and twos. I respect you. Hey, man, couple things. First and foremost, Jacoby, you already know what it is. I've been doing that neck action for a minute, you know what I'm saying? I've been having trouble with the lady friend. So I've been doing the kiss action. Call me Mr. Nectarine. And Jalen, Michigander, Detroit legend. You know, I was a little shocked, appalled from your response. But, you know, me and my friends were all Jalen Jacoby fans, OG podcast listeners. So, you know what? I respect you. I won't throw stones in a glass house. So I did some reflecting, looking back at myself, things that I can do better, trying to be a better individual. You know what I'm saying? I was surprised by the response I got from the young lady. So I humbly come to the throne. I respect you. I love the show. Me and my friends, we watch the show every day. Appreciate y'all. Peace. I want some Jalen and Jacoby hoodies, if possible, for the game. Holla at me. Peace.
So, for those who don't remember, Chris called in previously, and he said that the young lady that he was dealing with wasn't the best kisser, right? So we gave him some advice. I told him to, it doesn't always have to be lips to lips. Do some ear work, some neck work, you know? And then Jalen said that maybe you need to look in the mirror before you start pointing fingers. Maybe you should do some self-reflecting. It seems like he really took our advice seriously, but I gotta give him credit for one thing, because I told him to hit the neck sometimes. He called himself the Nectarine. He said Nectarine. Chris got jokes. He said Nectarine. Oh, God,
good
I love
for
Chris.
You, Chris. Good for you, Chris. That's an important life trait, my brother. So many times we walk past the mirror, but every time you look in it, do you see reality or do you see a representative? I appreciate that, my brother.
Chris in Columbus, and you know, Columbus brings up to me the men's national team in soccer, and they played in Cincinnati against Mexico, 2-0 once again. I'm loving the shape that this men's national team is coming into, and they're gonna qualify, Jalen Rose. And if they qualify for the World Cup, where's the World Cup being hosted?
Doha treatment, baby, in Qatar.
And let me tell you something. The last World Cup was in Russia, and the venues were thousands of miles apart. what we experienced last week
Good point.
All of the venues, all eight of the venues, and we'll discuss them in detail, they're all within 13 miles of each other. So if you want to watch the men's national team play in the World Cup, you don't have to watch a game and then get on a plane. You know what I mean? You can stay at the same hotel and follow your team throughout the entire tournament, which is unprecedented in the history of the World Cup. Because the next World Cup is going to be hosted by North America. So you can have a game in Canada. The next game's in Mexico City. The next game is in LA. The next game is in New York. You're going to be after getting on flights. You're going to have to get your passport stamped. Not in the 2022 World Cup in Doha. We'll be back tomorrow with more Tales from the Road. We'll be breaking down Monday Night Football, a game between the Rams and 49ers that I could see the 49ers sneak winning. Jalen Rose does not. And we'll break down the night in the NBA and much, much more. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new pod to step two. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done.
Anthony Rose.
We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.